bust on over to fanexchange.com for a safe, easy, and reliable experience. A great experience. Tickets purchased on Fan Exchange are always guaranteed. There's no getting to the gate and then worrying about getting in. Fan Exchange gets you closer to the action. Find the very best seats at the best prices at fanexchange.com. Use the promo code ROME. Again, promo code ROME and get 50% off the service fees on your next purchase. Fan Exchange, we have tickets.
Live from New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Damon Amendolara on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Monday to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. DA in for Jim today and tomorrow. You could usually catch me preceding the Jim Rome Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Hello to our television friends. Live in sparkling Technicolor on the CBS Sports Network. Check out the simulcast of the show every single day, Monday through Friday. Coming up this hour, the Jets and Sam Darnold. The NFL wants Jarrah to quit yapping. And your phone calls on it all at 855-212-4CBS. That's our New York City studios phone number. So dial it up. Clones at 855-212-4CBS. My favorite part about the NFL, it's not the lore, not the history, not the NFL films. It's not the stars or the game or the fans. It's not the personalities or the action or the big hits. It's not the speed or the athleticism or the greatness. It's not the comebacks or the big touchdowns or the big field goals to win it in overtime. No. My favorite part about the NFL is, I think I speak for a lot of us, the confusion. That's really what draws me in to the great game of football. The confusion, not knowing what, say, a catch is. What's a catch? And now, what's a hit? What's an illegal hit? And can you get ejected for being hit? We come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. The NFL now has a new rule in place where if you lower your helmet and initiate contact, you could be fined 15 yards, penalized 15 yards, and incur a fine and perhaps be ejected if it's really vicious. And this could go for the ball carrier as well. Think about it. A wide receiver comes over the middle, catches a pass, sees the safety coming over top, and bends down, crouches, braces for the hit, lowers the helmet, and that initiates contact with the helmet of the safety, the offensive player could hypothetically get kicked out of the game. Could incur a 15-yarder, get kicked out of the game. You think this will be tough to call? So the Philadelphia Eagles, the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, had a bit of a seminar the other day. Presentation by the NFL referees on the new helmet rule. And apparently as they watched film with the refs, the frustration level in the room kept getting amped up with every replay and every non-explanation. Linebacker Nigel Bradham, quote, "We were trying to ask questions to get a better understanding, and yet they couldn't really give us an answer. They couldn't give us what we were looking for." Malcolm Jenkins laid a hit on Brandon Cooks in the Super Bowl that knocked Cooks out of the game. The refs in this meeting split on whether it would be considered an illegal hit right now. Jenkins said, quote, "I'm going to make that play 10 times out of 10. If it's a flag, it's a flag. You can't slow yourself down thinking about rules in a split second. The game happens really, really fast, faster than the rules, I think, to take account for. I won't let it affect the way that I play." I mean, in this presentation, the refs didn't know whether that would be considered legal or not. Wendell Smallwood said, quote, "The refs were kind of like, hey, we didn't make the rules. because I think the guys were getting very frustrated. Most of the defense was like, man, how are we supposed to tackle? They were definitely frustrated. Matt Jones, quote, it was definitely going back and forth. We're running backs and we can't do this. And we're defense. How are we supposed to tackle? We didn't get any answers we wanted. We just have to try to abide by the rules and keep from getting fined and ejected. So, if you're scoring at home in the NFL, don't know what a catch is, and don't know what a legal hit is. Pardon me for being cynical, but I think part of this, if not a lot of this, for the NFL is trying to protect itself against lawsuits, litigation, legalities. I think the NFL getting rid of things like kickoffs or wedge blocks or changing the rules on helmet-to-helmet collisions, I honestly just think it comes down to one thing and one thing always, money. And the NFL is worried that 10 years from now, 20 years from now, players that played in this era that suffered CTE or brain trauma or health issues will come back and say, you knew, or this happened to me, and the NFL wants to be able to say, but we changed all the rules. I mean, look, we changed all the rules. But I think when it comes down to it, very fundamentally, they don't know how to change the rules. I think they want to have the security blanket. They want to have the protection. They want to have the buffer of, see, we changed the rules for you. We made it safer. But I actually don't think they know how to execute that plan. We just had Dante Hall join us on the show, former All-Pro kick return specialist and wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs and the St. Louis Rams. I asked him, what do you think about this new helmet rule?
Well, it's just an impossible task to ask these guys that's playing a physical game, one of the most physical sports on earth, to not use your head, especially when your head is attached to your freaking shoulder. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you can't make a tackle with your shoulder, with your body, without your head at some point making contact. I just think it's ridiculous. Now, I understand what they're trying to do. This thing is ridiculous. It's on you. Do you want to sign up and play this game? Because this is the info we have. This is what we know. And I think it should just be that simple, man. You cannot make a dangerous sport less dangerous. You can't.
I don't mind the NFL trying, if I'm just going to trust them on ethics and morals, which is probably a really stupid thing, but trying to make it safer for the next generation of players. Wanting kids to still sign up and play football, wanting to protect youth and young people from concussions and CTE, wanting to protect their own players from long-term health ramifications. I hope that that is part of this. I hope it is a huge part of it. I hope that they genuinely, really authentically want to protect people. But if you're going to try to do this, you've got to have an actual plan. And if the referees going into the preseason, I mean, the Hall of Fame game is this week. If the week of the first game, the refs are going, guys, we didn't make the rules. I don't know if this is legal or not. How can you expect the players to go out there and execute what you're asking them to do? You want them to be safer. Fine, that's great. But you've got to be clear on how to be safer. And if on the eve of the games, the people employed to penalize and legislate the safety of the game don't know how, what are we doing? What are we doing? This is so NFL. The most NFL thing ever is shoot first, ask questions later. Ray Rice gets two games. No, hang on, he gets the whole season. We're going to try to make it safer so you can't lower your helmet. We don't know what's a foul, but we, you know, we're trying to make it safer. You know, safe thing. Well, okay, that's not a catch. It's not a football move. Yeah, what a football move is, I'm not quite sure about that. What does one guy get suspended 4 games and one guy get suspended 6 games? Yeah, I don't really know. The NFL just makes it up. Just makes it up. Forget any long-term planning. The Raiders don't know where they're going to play next year. They don't know. Could be Oakland. Could be Vegas. Don't know. Have no idea. They've got four preseason games and then 16 regular season games, and the NFL is going to go, we'll just figure it out then. That's a great plan for finding out what you're going to eat for dinner on Thursday. It's not a great plan for running a multi-billion dollar corporation. And this is why it happens, guys, because they can't lose. They can't lose. So, yeah, we bicker about the anthem. Yeah, people say the ratings have gone down. And, yeah, we yell about domestic violence or player conduct or this or that. But guess what? The ratings only went down because every rating went down in everything because people watch less television now and people are cord cutting. But in terms of actual viewership, it's still the best viewership anything has in anything. It's still number one by a long shot. Can't lose. They can't lose. They can try to screw it up, but they can't lose. And so they go, yeah, I mean, we'll figure it out. That's their whole thing. We'll figure it out. Look at the anthem. They use the entire offseason to find out, to figure out, and to set aside a plan. Okay, you've got to stand for the anthem. You've got to be in the locker room. A week before the preseason began, one team said, okay, here's what we're going to do. And everyone's like, yeah, you know what? Scrap that whole anthem plan that we had out there. We don't know yet. The NFL just went back to, we don't know. We'll get to it when we get to it. It's the only thing that they were entrusted to try to figure out this offseason. The only thing. And they said, we got it. We're in lockstep. We've got a consensus. This is how we're going to do it. On the eve of the preseason, they're like, you know what? We actually don't know. So just hang on. We're going to put that on pause. We'll figure that out later. So I'm supposed to believe they're going to figure out this helmet rule? Of course not. Guys, we will watch week one and there will be confusion on this. It'll take five games. I bet you by the end of Scott Hansen or Andrew Siciliano in the 1 o'clock Eastern window on Red Zone week one, we will have this controversy already. By the first window of games, we're going to have a running back that lowered his helmet and either got flagged or didn't get flagged. And we're going to have to debate, well, was that unsafe? And why was that a flag? And then this wasn't a flag. You know that's coming. And then they're going to have Mike Carey or Mariah Carey or whoever's going to end up being the official in the booth trying to explain what's going on, guess it wrong. And we'll say, well, they don't know what they're doing because the officials don't even really know. And one group of officials will call it one way and one group of officials will call it another way. And then the NFL, Dean Blandino, is going to have to issue some stupid blanket statement and we don't know what it's going to mean and nobody's going to know how to interpret it. And it's just going to be like, well, you know, it'll get better. We'll figure it out. It's safer, though. We're just headed for disaster. You know it. You know it. This is the most predictable thing ever. Death, taxes, the Patriots winning the AFC East, and you not knowing the NFL rulebook, nor the players, nor the coaches. When we come back here on the show, the Jets finally look like they may have a franchise quarterback, and he's under contract, which is kind of amazing because there's now one first-round draft pick that's not under contract. And it comes back to the helmet rule. I'm not joking about this. We'll discuss all coming up here next. D.A. Damon Amendolara in for Jim Rome today here on CBS Sports Radio and simulcast on the CBS Sports Network.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us on a fine Monday. This is CBS Sports Radio and simulcast on the CBS Sports Network, Jim Rome Show. D.A. in for Jim. You can usually catch me preceding Jim on many of these same CBS Sports Radio stations. Tweet at me, D.A. on CBS. Dill Pickleson tweets, I was flipping through the TV channel, saw your face and above average sized mouth, and didn't think I would like you. I was wrong. You are very good at your job. Well, thanks, Dill Pickleson. That's the nicest, backhandiest compliment I've received in about 30 minutes. My timeline's filled with them. Geo tweets, war stay-at-home dads finally applying safety rules by putting helmets on toddlers to prevent head-on collisions. Signed, Working Dads. The NFL, as we were just talking about, has instituted a brand new helmet rule where if you lower your helmet to initiate contact, or it does end up initiating contact, you could end up being penalized 15 yards or kicked out of the game and fined, and that goes for offensive players as well. Check it. Now that Sam Darnold has signed as a first-round draft pick quarterback with the New York Jets, his rookie deal is now done, just got done minutes ago. Roquan Smith, top 10 pick of the Chicago Bears, is the final first-round holdout. And the reason they can't get it done is because of the new helmet rule. Even more confusion. Smith wants language in his contract clarified about if he gets penalized for the new helmet leading rule, if he's fined with this rule, who's going to pay the money? The language regarding the new helmet leading rule and whether it would allow the team to recoup guaranteed money should he be suspended under it. In other words, Roquan Smith is paid as a first-round pick to lay a hit. He lowers his helmet. It's mass confusion in the NFL now. Nobody knows what a penalty is, what it's not going to be. Maybe he's ejected. Roquan Smith is paid to lay the hit to stop the tackler. He thinks he's called it clean. He's done it clean. They call it dirty. He gets ejected. He's suspended. And so who gets the money for his game check? Does the team recoup the game check? Does he recoup the game check? If he's suspended, do they get guaranteed money back? Why? It's not like this has never come up before, that players could hypothetically be ejected. But before today, losing a game check was very much a black or white situation. You had to do something that was really, really, really bad that almost never happened. Now, players and teams are bracing for perhaps just getting suspended, and that's just the way that it is, even though you didn't think you did anything dirty. For the New York Jets, Sam Darnold is going to sign his rookie deal. It's amazing that it could come down this long and not get done, considering it's all slotted now. There's no real negotiations. It's now just really wording. It's just verbiage. It's not even dollars and cents anymore. It's going to be a $20 million signing bonus, one of the richest deals in Jets history. Of course, Sam Darnold was the number three pick in the draft. It's a four-year deal worth about $30 million. I like Sam Darnold a lot. I think he could be very, very good. And I think that when it comes to this rookie quarterback class, I've always liked Josh Rosen best. And this is before these effusive praise have come out of Arizona Cardinals camp. But I always liked Josh Rosen best. And I like Darnold second best. There is a problem, though, with Sam Darnold. And it's not necessarily Sam Darnold's fault. It is the need, the necessity of Jets fans to finally have a franchise quarterback that they can be excited for. And the Jets have forever fought this battle. How quickly do we make the guy the guy? The Browns have fought this battle as well. And the fact is, the Jets aren't a very good football team. I think what Todd Bowles got out of them last year was more than they probably should have gotten. more wins, more W's, more close games, more competitive games. The Jets were only 5-11, but they really seem to have 2-14 talent. They're not going to be much better this year, if at all. And the hope of Jets fans is immediately going to be, we want Darnold. We want Sam Darnold in. We want to see the kid. We want the franchise guy. Get him reps. Get him takes. We want to see him under center. And the Jets need to fight this because Darnold might end up being the best quarterback in this draft. I'm not putting it past him. But he's not ready right now. Coming out of USC, what you saw was potential, high ceiling, but needed polish, very young, inexperienced. The Jets need to fight this with every bone in their body to not put Sam Darnold in there before he is ready. And I'm not saying you've got to hold him out 2 years. I realize the years of Steve McNair are gone, where you could draft a guy in the top three or top five and have him sit for three seasons. I realize that is gone. When you're paying a guy $30 million and $20 million guaranteed, you don't have the luxury of letting him sit for multiple years. But the Jets fan is going to want to see Sam Darnold. And the Jets media is going to want to see Sam Darnold. And the New York tabloids are going to want to bang the drum for Sam Darnold because Sam Darnold is supposed to be the guy, and you have got to watch because he is not a finished product. He is far from it. And I think that this has been not only a problem for the Jets, but a problem for the Bills and a problem for the Browns. You draft all these guys, you want a franchise quarterback, and then you throw them in there and just simply say, well, we got to see, right? And there is a lot of damage you can do by putting in a guy too early. Look, I understand that you can't protect him forever, but I totally disagree with the notion that if he's got it, he gets it. Not everybody is Peyton Manning and Troy Aikman, where you can throw them in day one and they can go 1-15 or 3-13 and then end up in the Hall of Fame. In fact, those guys are very scarce, very rare. You can oftentimes do far more damage by putting in a guy too early on a bad football team. Peyton Manning, yep, you didn't have to worry about it. Troy Aikman, you didn't have to worry about it. Most guys, throwing them in the deep end before they know how to swim simply because the Sharks want him in there is a bad idea. And I'm telling you, the fans, the media, and the city is going to want to see what the Golden Kid can do with the big hair from USC, the Southern California kid. We want to see what this kid has. Put him under center. He's the franchise number three. You can ruin him. You can ruin him. Resist at all costs. When we come back here on the show, the NFL is trying to tell Jerry Jones, Jerry, could you just stop talking? Will it work?
These to the ground.
Glad you're back with us. Damon Amendolara, DA in for Jim today. You can usually catch me preceding Jim on many of these same CBS sports radio stations. Tweet at me, DA on CBS. James tweets, DA, imagine if Earl Campbell was playing in this football. Head down, straight ahead running. The NFL rules are a joke. Earl Campbell would have a tough time staying on the field. Not because he'd be injured, because he would be injuring other players and thus getting kicked out of the game. Again, I understand the overall concept of trying to make the game safer. What I don't understand is not fully educating your refs on what a penalty is or is not with the new rule, and thus just creating overall utter confusion when those refs try to teach it to the players and don't have straight answers. Richard tweets, DA, why doesn't the NFL institute the NCAA's targeting rule? That would seem to clear up any gray area. That's our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, as always. You can always send your question to us via Twitter. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Look, I think even with that targeting rule, it's all a gray area because it's interpretation. And when you're trying to determine intent on any type of penalty, especially one that could get you kicked out of a game, it's really problematic. Is a guy trying to injure? Does a guy deserve to get kicked out of a game if he's not trying to injure? What happens if he lowers his head and he doesn't connect with the helmet? What happens if it's the shoulder with the helmet? What happens if he doesn't lower his head, but the receiver lowers their head? What happens if neither one initiates the contact, but you have to have some type of contact because it is a contact sport? I just think all of this is so ridiculous. And I think to Dante Hall's point, who joined us earlier in the show, legislating violence out of an inherently violent game is always going to be a mistake. You're never going to be able to get it right. You really have to boil it down to simple black and white. If a helmet touches another helmet, it's a penalty, which I think is a stupid rule. But you're going to tell me that you are going to legislate in real time a guy bracing for a hit. Well, are we going to go back into replay? Is a guy going to brace himself for a hit and then we're going to go back into slow-mo replay and wasn't caught with the naked eye, but then when you really slow it down, yeah, no, that's a penalty. Or are you going to throw a penalty in real time and then with slow-mo go back and say, yeah, you know what, he didn't really lower that, or he was the one that initiated contact because, you know what, this happened in a split second and I couldn't really tell. Does any of that deserve to get kicked out of a game? Look, if a guy comes in like a torpedo like Jack Tatum used to do, uses his helmet to blow up another guy's helmet, and it's obvious, all right, fine. But you're going to start throwing flags on offensive players who are bracing for a collision? No, man. This is bad. You know it's going to lead to confusion. The NFL always seems to do confusion best, and Jerry Jones is adding to it. The NFL has asked Jerry Jones to just please shut up. The league reportedly told the owner of the Dallas Cowboys to stop talking about the national anthem issue. The NFL right now has a freeze on the policy of what to do if a player kneels during the national anthem or does not come out of the locker room for the national anthem. This is why Jerry Jones is amazing. This is why the NFL is also kind of amazing. It's because these guys have made so much money, they are so influential, and because the league simply is too big to fail in so many ways, the owners have monster egos and refuse to just play by the rules. The best thing the NFL could do with the national anthem issue is just not do anything. You don't give a fire more oxygen. You let it burn itself out. I don't care where you stand on this. You might think it's ridiculous to fine the players. You might think it's the best thing ever to fine the players. But the NFL doesn't want this to be the topic of conversation. They don't want this to be a polarizing point. And so the only way to keep it going as a polarizing point is to keep bringing it up. And that's what Jerry does. Jerry's never met a microphone he didn't love. He never said no to an interview. And Jerry would be so much better suited just shutting up. He should not be talking throughout the season. Last year, the New York Giants, in the middle of the season, benched their Hall of Fame potential quarterback and two-time Super Bowl champion, who was on a historic game-started streak, for Geno Smith. And the general manager didn't talk about it. Not up until that decision. Only when the firestorm built afterwards did Jerry Reese have to come out and discuss. Not until then. Because he said, I don't talk during the season. Jerry Jones is the general manager, remember. He talks every week. It does not help anything that Jerry Jones always talks. It doesn't. He thinks that because he's the owner, the rules don't abide or apply to him. And he does not need to abide by them. And he also says, well, if I talk, it helps out attention. People start talking about what I talked about. That sells tickets. You know, that is such an old way of thinking. If this was the Arena Football League, okay, fine, you need to sell tickets. I don't think that Jerry World is selling more tickets or luxury suites because Jerry Jones is doing press conferences. They're a topic of conversation because they're a topic of conversation because they're the Dallas Cowboys. You don't need to add fuel to the fire. And I just find it amazing that nobody in that family or organization can tell Jerry to just stop. He's built too much power. Hell, the NFL just put him in the Hall of Fame. You think after Jerry gets into the Hall of Fame, he's going to want to be told what to say or not to say about the national anthem issue? Hell no. Can't have it both ways. The NFL lauds Jerry for his business acumen. They put him in the Hall of Fame as a historic figure in the league's history, and then they're going to tell him, yeah, but Jerry, but we don't want you to talk. He's not going to listen. You built this monster. The best thing the NFL can do is to just not do anything, because then it just stops the cycle. Doesn't give it oxygen. But they can't help themselves, and Jerry certainly can't help himself. I mean, go back to circumcising the mosquito or something. But talking about the national anthem's not helping your cause. You think you're the big bad owner. See, I tell you what to do and I get my way. That's all ego. It's all ego. You can't put that genie back in the bottle. Jerry's out. He will not stop talking. You can't tell him now to stop talking because you have encouraged him, basically, or allowed him to talk as much as humanly possible for 30 years. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number, 855-212-4227. Hit me on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Drew in West LA tweets, DA, you are a deeply flawed individual with numerous shortcomings. Aw. So nice, Drew. Geo tweets, I could care less who hits what, who kneels, and what Tom Brady thinks. Just get me some fantasy points. Signed, all fantasy fans. We're very close to all those fantasy preview shows coming up. Who to draft? We're closing in. Your ears will start bleeding. Your eyes, you'll want to poke out with watermelon scoopers. It's coming. Chad in Lincoln tweets, how can the NFL be one of the most popular sports yet be run so horribly with the anthem and head-to-head confusion? Time to get rid of Goodell? Oh, Chad, it was time 5 years ago. It was time after Ray Rice. It was time after Greg Hardy. It was time years ago. But we are in a vicious cycle where the NFL makes money every year and the owners go, we like that, so let's just keep the good times rolling. Commissioner of sport is the best job ever. Think about Bud Selig. Think about Gary Bettman. Think about Roger Goodell. These guys ostensibly did worse by their leagues in many situations and held on to jobs for decades. Not years, decades. Bud Selig ran Major League Baseball without knowing how to work an email address. I'm not joking about that. He never had an email address. How do you run a baseball league without an email? Even fantasy GMs need an email. If you're the commissioner of your fantasy league, you got to have an email. At least to sign up for CBS Sports Fantasy, you need an email account. Like if Bud Selig tried to run a fantasy league for Major League Baseball, he couldn't. But he ran the real league. The actual one. No better job ever than commissioner of sports. Ever. Ryan's outside Minneapolis. Listen to CBS Sports Radio there. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, how you doing, BDA?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm just curious your take on the NFL turning over the need to have officials interpret rules even more so now than before, and then you throw the whole legalized gambling and on top of that. What do you think of that? I'm going to hang up and listen.
Thanks, bud. I think that the way that we've come with officiating is now a nightmare on every level because we're asking officials to basically ref in real time but use ultimate high-def slow motion afterwards. And so what the NFL official and the NBA official in many ways are doing is they're officiating with the safety net. Let me just call it safe right now, and then I'll go back to the video. And that has created all sorts of problems because it means that they're not calling anything consistently. There's no consistency in how things are called. I mean, look at the verbiage of what a catch is. The fact that two different refs can call a catch two different things says everything you need to know. The fact that we have retired officials on game broadcasts that consistently get it wrong tells you all you need to know. These were heads of officials. Mike Pereira led officials, and he's 50-50 at best in calling what it's going to be. That just means that it's personal interpretation based on that ref, that crew, that replay guy. Using replay this much has hurt the game. It really has. It has hurt the game. And trying to legislate intent is impossible. Larry's next up in Oakland, California, listening to CBS Sports Radio and watching on CBS Sports Network to the simulcast. What's up, Larry?
Hey, what's up, D? Nice show today, buddy. And this one's dedicated to Nikki, otherwise known as Not a Cat's Dez. Hit the road, says Dak. Dallas don't want you no more, Jerry Jones went. Circumcised like a mosquito. What you say, O'Brien? My team, you're the biggest distraction we've ever seen. The Cowboys said, bro, hey, yo, you have to back your bags and go. That's right. Hit the road, says Dak. You always like a clown. Take your crib night and have fun playing for the Browns. Later, boys.
Parody Larry weighing in. Anytime you could work in a circumcising a mosquito, even if it's not on beat. Chris tweets, DA, how about Ben Roethlisberger? He got put in there at quarterback early in his rookie year, wasn't ready, but he was handing off to Parker and Bettis, throwing outs to Ward, and they had the best D in the league. The Jets have none of those luxuries. Exactly. Look, I think Sam Darnold could be really good, but when you think of Ben Roethlisberger's rookie season, he goes 15-1, and people go, Ben Roethlisberger did it. They got to the AFC title game his rookie season. Man, that wasn't even about Ben Roethlisberger at that point. Hell, his second season, 2005, they win the Super Bowl. It's less about Ben Roethlisberger, and they win the Super Bowl. If you're a bad team like the Browns, like the Jets, you've got to be really, really careful in when you put somebody in. Which is why I get bringing in Tyrod Taylor, because you don't want to have to put in Baker Mayfield too early. But there is so much pressure. There is so much intensity. There is so much I need it now in sports and in our society in general. In a microwave culture, we don't have patience for anything. You can order your food on your phone to be waiting at your door when you show up. You don't want to wait 6 weeks for your rookie quarterback. You don't want to wait six quarters. More tweets. We hate any helmet rule. Signed, Antonio Cromartie and Travis Henry. Pete in Kalamazoo. I'm allowed to read all these, right? I think so. LeBron James explains why he joined the Lakers. LeBron told his online platform Uninterrupted, quote, this is kind of a dream come true for me. Growing up, I was a Cowboys fan, a Bulls fan, a Yankees fan, and I've always felt like that was one of the historic franchises. And you look at the Lakers being able to play for a historic franchise, partnering with Magic Johnson, someone I looked up to, for it to all come to fruition at this point, I think timing is everything. LeBron James, if he's not the greatest basketball player of all time, is the second greatest. But the biggest fraud call ever is being a Cowboys, Bulls, Yankee, and Lakers fan. If you are that guy, you're a fraud. I love LeBron, but don't sell me on I was a Cowboys, Bulls, and Yankee fan growing up. All right, I want to thank the guys behind the glass here. Tom DeCelestino on the Wheels of Steel. Sean Mraz, your executive producer. Everybody at Mission Control at CBS Sports Network. I'm back in for Jim tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Tiki and Tierney is next. We'll see you tomorrow morning.